I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah chapter number 1. This is lesson number 20. It's hard to believe we've already had 20 lessons on this subject. Lesson number 20 on destructive behavior. Destructive behavior. Tonight, we're going to talk about the subject of backsliding. We're going to talk about the subject of backsliding and what the Bible says about it. Isaiah chapter number 1. Once you get to Isaiah chapter 1, why don't you find verse number 4? And then if you would stand with me, please, Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 4. I'll read out loud and you can follow along silently. The Bible says this, "O sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers." Look back at me, if you will. Did you notice it said that they had gone backwards? What had happened? This country, these people had backslidden. And look at the mess. I mean, you hear what God's saying? God said it's like an open wound that is putrid and it's stinking and it's rotten and people are taking over your country and taking your things. Backsliding is a destructive thing. It's a destructive thing. Let's pray. Father, bless us now tonight as we teach and talk and our talk too about this subject, this behavior that is so destructive in the Christian life, the behavior of backsliding. God, someone here tonight desperately needs this sermon. I ask, Lord, that we would not just come to get a spiritual education tonight, but might we get a spiritual cleansing. Bless us now, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Destructive behavior. I don't know if you were listening to it there, but in Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 4, I'm going to read it to you again. It says this, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backwards." That's a picture of someone backsliding. You see that word back there. Now, let me tell you this. I don't know if you were listening to it, but it said, this backsliding provoked God to anger. Now, let me tell you something. You don't want God to be angry. And this behavior, it had provoked God to anger. Boy, that is destructive. I'm going to read to you another passage of Scripture. If you'll just listen to it, it's found in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. Listen to it real, real closely. Listen to what's said. It says, "A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they've forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backslidden children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God." Here the man of God, Jeremiah, and God is using him to warn and correct God's people. If you heard what it said they were backslidden. God even says it was perverted. They were perverted and they were backsliding. And so in some way, God associates backsliding with perversion. The people in this passage of Scripture, they're hurting and they're weeping. Jeremiah was, he was a prophet of great compassion, but the pain that these people were weeping over was self-inflicted. They had gotten backslidden, and now their life is a mess, and they're weeping over the mess that they've created. And God even says it's a perverted way. And he said there, you have forgotten the Lord. He tells them in verse 22, he said, you need to return from your backsliding. And God said, we can heal this backsliding. Now, folks, many times when we hear the words backsliding or being backslidden, we think of someone who is, they had grown to a certain level in their Christian life, but they had gone backwards. They went back to things that maybe they had left. In other words, they cleaned themselves up, they purified themselves, and now they're back to some of their, if you will, if you got cleaned up, maybe you're back to being dirty again and not handling yourself right. So you pulled yourself out of the drug culture, but you now have gone back. You pulled yourself out of drunkenness, and now you're going back. You'd pulled yourself out of immorality, and now you're heading back there. You decided to stop stealing, but now you find yourself stealing again. You decided to cover up and not be exposing yourself in nudity, but now you've gone backwards. You decided to control your words, and you stopped cussing, but now you're back to cussing again. Whatever it is. Those are all forms of areas in which we could backslide. Let me read you some verses. Hebrews 10:38 says this, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. God said, I don't get any pleasure out of you going backwards. You know, you and I, our whole life ought to be all about glorifying God. It's not glorifying you. It's not glorifying me. It's not glorifying the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. You're to glorify God. And God said, when you step up in your Christian life and then start stepping back, he said, I get no pleasure out of that. Jeremiah 2:19 says, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Now, you say, what does that mean? When you backslide, life is going to slap the snot out of you. If that's in the Greek. You say, what is the word snot in the Greek? Nasal mucus. Now, let me read another verse to you. Isaiah 1:4 says, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers. It says here that they have gone backward in Isaiah 1:4 to the point of making God angry. See, God said, I don't get pleasure out of it when you go backwards. He said, you can push me far enough, it makes me angry that you used to, you know, I have been in Christianity for a long time. I watch an awful lot of people that are used to beers. The only story of victory in your Christian life that you can tell is one from the past. And I don't mean last week. I mean years ago. Well, I used to do this good thing or that good thing. But God said, I get no pleasure out of you going backwards. I want to give you some thoughts about backsliding. And all the things that I talked to you about earlier, I called a list. Drugs and the booze and the immorality and the stealing and the nudity and the cussing and all of it. Let me say, you need to analyze yourself a little bit why I teach this lesson. I'm probably going to touch on some things about backsliding that you don't usually associate with backsliding. Now, some of these things are going to apply to all of us, but just remember something. Because I don't talk to you about the particular area in which you have backslidden, it doesn't mean that God wants you to stay backslidden in that area. You ought to take a good long look at your Christian life and say, well, I used to be at this level in my Christianity, and I'm not anymore. And God said, I don't get any pleasure in that. Matter of fact, you live that way long enough, it makes me angry. And we've seen a group that had backslidden to the point where God said, you're like a putrefying sore. You stink in my nostrils, and you're just destroying your life and your testimony and everything that I want to do for you. So don't think because I don't touch on your area of backsliding that God's okay with it, because he's not. You ought to be able to listen to a sermon on backsliding and just ask yourself, am I as good a Christian as what I used to be? in whatever area. But let me touch on some areas that will be a little different. For instance, number one, are you backslidden in the way that you treat the backslidden? Are you backslidden in the way that you treat the backslidden? Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." See, someone is backslidden. A spiritual Christian would want them to be restored with meekness and not with arrogance. So you and I, we could get backslidden in regard to the way that we treat the backslidden. James chapter 5, verse number 20 says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. See, there's some of you, you used to be meek and you wanted the backslidden to get right. Now you're just mean-spirited toward the backslidden. Do you love the sinner and hate their sin? Or do you hate the sinner? You see, you and I are to hate sin, but we're not to hate the sinner. But there are people in this room, you used to love the sinner and hate the sin, but now you just bundle it all together. You hate the sin and you hate the sinner. Do you hope God punishes a backslidden Christian? Listen, God says that He'll punish a backslidden Christian. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you and I ought to be off in the corner saying, "I hope so." No, you shouldn't be wanting that. You say, "I hope God gets them." You're full of vengeance. You're an immature Christian. And either you've always believed wrong or you used to believe right and you have backslidden in regard to your treatment of the backslidden. Are you arrogant and proud? You know, for any of us, me or you, to want someone to be punished, you're really taking chances. Can I tell you something? You could be punished too. You say, "For what? For being a dirt ball. You're a bad sinner." You say, "Well, I am not." Oh, yes, you are. You say, "Compared to who?" Compared to Jesus. He has every right to destroy us all if He wants to. We're unrighteous. You know, the good thing about us is Jesus Christ. I'd be careful wishing upon a backslidden sinner that God destroys them. I'd be careful. Do you talk bad about the backslidden to others instead of pray that God would restore them? Do you not want them restored? You say, "Pastor, do people really think that way?" Oh, yeah. There are people that I just hope that they don't get right with God and come back to church. I can't stand them. That's a terrible way to live. Hey, do the backslidden people have two enemies? The devil and you. Do you hope that the backslidden stay backslidden? So are you backslidden about your treatment of the backslidden? Secondly, are you backslidden enough that you are not here to listen to this sermon? Well, you say, "Well, Pastor, we're here." I know. But there are people that ought to be here that are not here. So all of you can ignore me for just a moment. But I'm going to go ahead and teach point number two anyway. Are you backslidden enough that you're not here to listen to this sermon? Isaiah 1:4 says, the last part of it says, "They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away," backwards. Notice the words, "gone away." There is somebody that's not here tonight because they are so backslidden, they don't even come to church like they're supposed to. And it's not that they're homesick. It's not that they had to go to work. They didn't want to be here, and they figured out a way not to be here. Oh, now, I'm not preaching to any of you because you're here. At least I'm not preaching to you tonight. Have you forsaken God's house? Now, of course, this point is for the people that are not here. Or maybe it's a miracle you are here. I don't know. Maybe you're out there listening to this on CD. And you, to avoid conviction, don't come to church.
Well, I hope as you listen to this on CD, your backsliddenness is brought forth and that the Holy Spirit helps you to realize you should have been here to listen to this sermon live. You should have inconvenienced yourself for Jesus and came to church. Maybe you got this on CD. Maybe you listened to it on our website. But you weren't in church to listen to it. Hey, maybe you're hearing this weeks or months after I preach it. Well, just so you know, this service is Wednesday night, January 17, 2018. And if you could have been in church and you didn't come to church, you are backslidden. Or you never were spiritual in the first place. You're not here tonight. Well, you used to be faithful to the services. You used to come to night church, but you don't do it anymore. Are you backslidden to the point that you're not here tonight to hear the sermon on being backslidden? But again, that's not for you. That's for the people that were not here to hear it. Let me go to point three. Are you backslidden enough that you are confident about your backslidden condition? Confident. Confident about it and confident in it. Proverbs 14:16 says, "A wise man feareth departeth from evil, but the fool's rage and is confident." Here, that word rage there means aggressively doing wrong. You know, somebody goes out and parties and they say it was a rage. You know what that means? They were partying hard. They were partying with confidence. They were being boisterous and loud and throwing themselves out there. So that's aggressively doing wrong and boasting about it. That confidence that the Bible says here in Proverbs 14:16, it's talking about being cocky or proud or arrogant. Hey, are you backslidden and you boast to your fellow backsliders about your condition? Do you boast to godly people about your backslidden condition? Proverbs 14:14 says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways." Now, that filled with your own ways, it means you're filled up with it and you're into it and you're just full of yourself. Do you not fear God? Have you become so cocky that you don't fear God? I always worry about preaching sermons like this because sometimes a sermon like this, I've watched God use sermons like this as a last call. You see, but Pastor, it's Wednesday night Bible study. This is every bit of Bible study. But it's a Bible study with some teeth to it. Do you rage saying whatever God does to you is worth it because of the fun you're having living away from Him? Let me just warn you, don't make God angry in your backsliding. I said, number one, are you backslidden in the way that you treat the backslidden? Number two, are you backslidden enough that you're not even here to hear a sermon on backsliding? Number three, are you backslidden enough that you are confident about your backslidden condition? Number four, are you backslidden enough that you have changed your stance on what it means to be backslidden? Are you backslidden enough that you have changed your stance on what it means to be backslidden? And stay with me, folks. There's some good spiritual logic tucked in this thing somewhere tonight. Hebrews 6:1 says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." Now, there's two concepts being taught here. One about what salvation is, but it's talking about someone who is trying to change the original foundation. There's something that was believed foundationally, but they wanted to change it up. Notice that word, not laying again the foundation. He's saying you're trying to change your original belief, so what you say you believe now is not wrong, but it's not what you used to believe. You say, "I always did believe it was okay to be immoral." You see, there are people that believe something strongly, but when they get backslidden, they then justify their backsliding by saying, "Well, I never did really believe that way. This is what I believe." They're relaying the foundation. Are you so backslidden that you have changed your definition of being backslidden? You used to say a person who didn't tithe was backslidden. Now you say, well, that's just an Old Testament expectation and not for our day. I never did believe. Oh, yeah, some of you did. But you're trying to adjust your now to justify your now behavior. You used to say getting drunk as a Christian was an act of backsliding. Now you don't think that. Backslidden people relay their own foundations for the self for self-justification. They do it with their dress. They do it with their church attendance. They do it with their music. And on and on and on goes the list. Many people say, well, I believe strongly. Then they get backslidden and they say, you know what? I don't believe that way. This is what I really believe. They want to relay the foundation to justify their backslidden condition. Let me move on. Number five. Are you backslidden enough that you're backslidden even? Are you backslidden enough that you have backslidden even further from your backsliding? Here's what I mean. Jeremiah 5:6 says, "Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many." And their backslidings are increased. Are you backslidden enough that you were pretty badly backslidden in the first place? But now, you're backslidden from being backslidden. You're even deeper than ever before. That's what that's talking about. Increased depth of backsliding. You got away from God, and you backslid to a certain level. Now, you are even deeper than when you first backslid. See, at first, you backslid to the point where you thought you would never go. At that backslidden point, you said, well, I may be backslidden, but I'm never going to be as bad as those people. But you backslid again, didn't you? Now you're like those people you said you'd never be like. My, oh my, twice removed from where you once were. Have you backslidden even farther into sin? The Bible says in Isaiah 1:28, "And the destruction of the transgressors and the sinners shall be together, and that they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed." Hey, your backsliding will consume you. Look at what you have allowed yourself to become. Look at how far back you have gone. You took a big step back. You were backslidden enough the way it was. But then you allowed yourself to go even deeper and further away. I wonder if you're backslidden enough, the devil is even shocked, and he says, I really didn't think they'd go that far. I had them off track enough. They just allowed their flesh to take over completely. Backsliding, it's a destructive behavior. Are you backslidden in the way that you treat the backslidden? Are you backslidden enough that you're not even here to hear the sermon about backsliding and you could and should be here? Are you backslidden enough that you are confident in your backsliding? Are you backslidden enough that you have changed your stance on what it really is to be backslidden? Are you backslidden enough that you have backslidden to a second depth of wrong and backsliding? Number six, are you backslidden enough that this sermon on backsliding won't even affect you? Are you backslidden enough that this sermon on backsliding won't even affect you? If you sat there, and folks, I love you and I'm your friend, but let me tell you something. If you're backslidden and you already say, yeah, I am, I'm backslidden. But when we close this sermon down, if you won't even let this sermon affect you and you're backslidden, let me tell you something. That's a dangerous thing. Number six is, are you backslidden enough that this sermon on backsliding will not affect you? Romans 11:8 says, "God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear." Huh, eyes that don't see, ears that don't hear. Oh, you're here. There's noise in the auditorium, but you're not listening with your heart. You're not listening with your will. You just hope we can get this over with and go home. Because you don't really want to change your life. You're stuck here. Your husband expects you to come. Your wife expects you to come. You know, the pastor thinks you ought to be here, but you don't want to be here. You don't want your life changed. You don't want to live right. Your mom makes you come. Your dad makes you come. Be very, very careful that your ears hear, because you don't want ears that don't hear. The Bible says in Jeremiah 5:3, O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they've not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they've refused to receive correction. They've made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. The word stricken means spanked. They refuse to receive correction. Their face is as hard as a rock. They refuse to return. The only effect a sermon like this would have on someone that was backslidden and didn't want to be affected is it'd make them mad. They'd say, Pastor, you're just meddling. You shouldn't be so straightforward in the pulpit. Will you not see your real self? Will you not hear the loving warning from the scripture and from a pastor that's trying to help you? Do you refuse the correction? Is your face as hard as a rock? Will you return? Will you return from your backslidden ways? The Bible says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Let me explain that to you. We had a dog named Spot. Mom said, don't be giving Spot food from the table all the time to eat. Well, if it was good for me and my brother, it was good for Spot. I remember one time my brother and I, we'd made our own gravy. You know, when you're 6 and 8 years old, you can really crank out some good gravy. But we wanted gravy. We decided we were making gravy, and we made gravy. We'd seen Mom do it many, many times before. We made a lot of it. We were really hungry. I mean, there must have been 2 or 3 gallons of it, because we were hungry for gravy. And, you know, we were stirring, and we had a big vat of it. I mean, it just looked like a witch's cauldron full of gravy. And we had no clue what we were doing. So we made this gravy, and we thought, it looks good. This is going to be good stuff. And so we put some out on our plates, and we ate just a little and said, oh, it don't taste like Mama's gravy. Well, Mama's going to come home. Why in the world we thought this? Spot will eat anything. Spot will eat anything. Now, if it were me today, I'd flush it. You know, there's better things to do with it. But when you're, you know, 7, 8, 9 years of age, why waste good gravy that tastes bad? We just took that big vat. We put it down there for Spot. Spot loved it. Spot thought this was good gravy. And Spot licked that gravy and licked that gravy and licked that gravy. And it was salty enough that she'd go over and get her little water every once in a while. And she'd go right back at that gravy. I watched that dog's belly go from about that size to about that size. You know, I mean, she was so heavy. She was kind of collapsed in the middle. Her belly was dragging, and her arms were, you know, pushed way out. And she ate that gravy. And my brother and I thought, evidence hidden. Well, Mom come home. Spot's laying over in the corner going, and me and my brother, we're going on like nothing ever happened. And well, Spot got up, walked over near Mom, and decided to go ahead and reveal the evidence of the gravy, and she puked. I mean, it was a good load. She puked. And my mom said, what has that dog been eating? And being the good Christian boy that I am, I said, I don't know. My brother Randy probably is the one that gave it to her. So Spot went back over in her corner and laid down. A couple minutes later, Spot came back over to the spot where she had puked. And she cleaned it up. She ate it. Now, how many of you have ever seen a dog eat its own vomit? Now, the scripture's true. God says to the Christian, when I pulled you out of the mess that you were in, when I straightened up your life and I saved you and I put you on a rock, and I got that nasty stuff out of your life. It was supposed to stay out of your life. And we return to the vomit of our past. That's what God's saying. God's saying, you're eating the vomit of your past life. And there are people in here. You're spiritually vomit eaters. You're back to the pig pen where God tried to pull you out of. That's enough of that. Let me give you some good news. Good news to the backslidden. Hosea 14:1 says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. You see, here God wants us to return from our backsliding. In Hosea chapter 14, verse number 4, it says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Do you know something? If you're making God angry with your backslidden condition, he said, you know what? My anger can be limited. He said, you just need to return from your backsliding. He wants to heal you. God will love you. God can control his anger toward that backsliding. Jeremiah 3:22 says, return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. He said, I want you to come back. If you're a backslider for whom God had me preach this sermon, God wants to show you mercy. God wants you to come back. Every once in a while, there's a sermon that, though 99% of the people in the room, it's not God's last call, God's trying to get your attention, but every once in a while, there's somebody under the sound of a sermon that God's saying, this is it. I've called and called and called, and you will not listen. You're backslidden. I'm getting ready to bring the hammer down. Listen, the Bible teaches us that backsliding is a destructive behavior. Because when we were growing and cleaning up, that glorified and pleased God. And he said, I have no pleasure when you go backwards. In other words, God doesn't have pleasure in your backslidden condition. And it can kindle his anger. Now, well, I named some areas of backsliding. Are you backslidden? You used to read your Bible, but you don't anymore. You used to pray, you don't anymore. You used to go soul winning, you don't anymore. You used to serve God, you don't anymore. There are areas where you used to be separated, but you're not anymore. I would just recommend that the destructive behavior of backsliding, that you be very cautious. You will self-destruct, but you make God angry. He can severely chastise. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The question is this. Are you backslidden? Hey, are you and you don't care? Are you and you're not going to do a thing about it? That is dangerous. That's destructive, especially to be able to say it in your heart. Yeah, I'm backslidden. I plan to stay right where I am. I am not what I used to be. I have let my life go to the devil, and it doesn't even bother you. God will get your attention. I would prefer you letting a sermon like this get your attention. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, I believe God has spoken to my heart. He's spoken to me tonight about some area of my life or, whatever the case. Would you let God see your hand? You may put your hands down. We'll have an altar call. Won't last long. For some of you, you probably should do some business with God. You say, Pastor, do you think God's speaking to me? I'm sure God wants to speak to everybody. But let's guard ourselves from this destructiveness called backsliding. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Are you backslidden in attitude? Are you backslidden in your giving? There are things that at one point in your life you say, I would never do that. Now you live there. Now you live where you said you'd never go. People used to get up and preach against this sin and that sin. You used to be the one in the crowd that said, yeah, that's good. Now when you hear preaching on the same thing, you think that preaching is ridiculous because that which you used to hate, you now live. How many of your old beliefs have you had to do away with because you're backslidden? You believed it. You believed it strongly. You were strongly separated and had a strong stance about it, but you got backslidden, so you had to adjust your belief to the level of your living. Nowhere to take our living up to the belief. Not knock our belief down to our living. Ushers, if you will, make sure you have the prayer bulletins. One more time through the song. The altar's still open if you need it. Somebody needs to get right back there and read their Bible. You're backslidden. Some of you need to get back into church. You're backslidden. Somebody needs to get right with God financially. You're backslidden. Are you backslidden? The way you treat people, your language, entertainments. Destructive behavior. Hey, anything that provokes God to anger, that's pretty destructive. Thank you, Rachel.